Well, I have to admit, I'm a little bit of a confession here, if you don't mind. I read on the Facebook that yesterday was supposed to be the last day of existence. The Bible numerologists had studied and determined that September 23rd, 2017 would be the last day on planet Earth would exist. Well, I just assumed that's why Dred asked me to preach on the 24th. And so I really didn't prepare a lesson. And here it is, the 24th. So, however, I was given some very, very good advice not long ago. I asked a group of men sitting in the foyer of the church right before a service. I said, "Gentlemen, how are we doing today?" They said, "Fine." And I said, "Hey, can anybody tell me here what makes a good sermon?" And one of the men piped up and said, "Short." So, seeing as how today is the day after the last day on earth, and I don't have a lesson, I'm going to take his advice and let's close in a word of prayer, all right? This would be the best sermon y'all have ever heard. All kidding aside, the reason I'm here today is to help you answer a question. Do you trust God? Amen. Some of you have answered it. That's good. Do you believe that God wants the best for you? One. Do you believe that God wants the best for you? Now listen. See, here's what gets a little bit kind of funky. Your definition of best is different from God's definition of best. Amen? Well, find your Bible, find Acts, find chapter 9. If you know very much at all about the Bible, if you've read it much at all, many of you probably know that Acts chapter 9 is the chapter where Saul is converted. He was breathing out murderous threats against those that would call themselves Christians or disciples of Christ. And he was having them arrested and thrown in prison. As a matter of fact, he was feared by many of the Christians because he was being so successful at arresting and putting them in jail. He even smiled upon a young disciple by the name of Stephen, as he was stoned. That was early in Saul's career. But Jesus gets a hold of Saul on what is known as the road to, two people knew that, the road to Damascus. And on that road, Jesus appears to Saul as a bright light. I'll probably know that. Here's that encounter. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that's the disciples, Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why did you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He replied, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Trust. Interesting development right there. We'll deal with that just a second. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. I would think so. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. Let's stop right there for now. Depending on how much time I have left, we may unpack a little bit more of it. Here's an interesting little dilemma. Saul, for all practical purposes, this is a point that I don't think we emphasize enough. Saul trusted God. As a matter of fact, he was held in high esteem as a Pharisee or a religious law a religious lawyer. That's what a Pharisee was. And he was looked at and looked upon as a young rising star, so to speak, in the Jewish hierarchy in the church. I mean, he was really considered a very honorable, faithful man, thought what he was doing was right. He trusted God. But on the road to Damascus, Jesus said, stop doing what you're doing. Now, that's an interesting thing, especially for a guy like me who tries really, really hard to do exactly what God wants done. Now, my wife would probably tell you I don't try hard enough. And if you lived around me and with me, you probably would say the same thing. Sometimes I get sidetracked. Sometimes I get my mind rolling on things that probably shouldn't be rolling on, and I'm just going to, a case in point would be the OSU football game yesterday. I had to spend about 12 hours of repentance after everything I yelled at my television. Yeah, it just infuriates me to think about it. So, anyway, I am not a person who really wants to do anything that God doesn't want done. I know I mess up. I know that I make mistakes. I get off on my own tangent sometimes, but deep down inside, I really want to please God. I mean, look, God created me, made me, bought me back, even though I was marred, I had sin in my life. He paid the penalty for that sin. Deep down inside, I really, really grabbed a hold of that. I know that, and I want to please him and do everything for him. But you know what? Sometimes in my zeal to please God, I don't please God. Sometimes I run ahead of God. In my job, I get to walk into churches, and for the most part, you know, everybody loves me. I mean, really, it's very exciting when they go into a church. But however, there are a few that don't like me because I've had to make some hard decisions. I mean, one of the bad things about this job is you get to see the underbelly of church life. I get to see a lot of the awesome stuff and see God move and see God do a lot of stuff. But you also see the underbelly, some of the bad things, some of the way that Christians can be ugly to one another and treat one another. And as a DOM, someone who really is impartial, they invite me in to try to help them solve those type of difficulties. And I've seen God do some miraculous things in that time. And a lot of that's the problem. A lot of that is I've seen it happen. I've seen God do things, and here's what I did, and God did this, and boom. So the next church I go to, instead of praying and getting on my knees and asking God and petitioning God, God, what do I need to do here? I just revert back to an old experience and say, well, God, last time we did X, Y, Z, and boom, 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 here was the result, and it was awesome. So I just know I got this. I got this. How many of you have been there? Come on now. Now, I just opened up my guts and spilled them all in front of you, so at least you can just put your hand up. How many of y'all been there? Yeah. Deep down inside, you really, really trust God. You really do. But sometimes, just sometimes, you think you know best. Sometimes, you think, I think, we all think, we know what's best. And so we can kind of step over some things. You know, I'm not a computer whiz by any stretch of the imagination, but I've learned some shortcuts with my phone that, by the way, is smarter than I am, but there are shortcuts that I didn't know when I first got the iPhone. There's things that the iPhone does that when I first got it, I didn't know. And it wasn't until somebody kind of took me aside and said, hey, you know, you can hit this button and then that, and boom, it goes right to it. Or you can just slide, swipe left, and boom, hit delete, and you can delete something without ever having to actually open up that app. Wow. I thought I knew what was best, but someone came along and opened me up to a better way of using my phone. Now, that's not just a phone thing. That happens in my life a lot, actually. I bought a new pickup a year and a half ago, and I thought I knew how to operate everything on it. What I didn't realize, but since my last new pickup, there's a lot more stuff on it. I mean, I have a video screen, and I put it in reverse, and it shows where I'm going, backing up. It's actually not a good thing for me, as Abby says. Anyway, I love the sermon. I needed someone to come along. I thought I knew the best way to operate a vehicle, but somebody had to come along and show me the nuances of the new stuff in the pickup. So I need you to understand something. Paul thought he was doing best. He thought he was protecting his belief system from those people outside of it trying to destroy it. He thought he was doing best. On the road to Damascus, Jesus told him otherwise. God's idea of best is always right. Your idea of best is sometimes right, and sometimes wrong. That's why I ask, do you really trust God? Paul trusted God. And when he stood up from that experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was blind. He lost the ability to hit himself from point A to point B. He lost his sight. And his companions, his traveling companions, had to grab him by the hand like an invalid and help him into Damascus. Folks, that is a humbling thing. When I was sick with cancer, many of you had heard that story. I was sick with cancer. Everybody prayed, even I prayed, God remove the cancer. That's what I thought was best. Let the cancer go away. Heal me. God said, no, the better thing is to do the have it, to do the lose it tongue, for everybody to tell you and the world that you will never spit again, and then I'm going to make you talk. That's the better thing. The problem is, I didn't trust that at first. And I think a little bit here, Paul might not have trusted that at first. Okay, the changing my whole job description. You were asking me to throw away a lifetime worth of belief system that I had been taught and I had studied and I had grown proficient in. And you're asking me to now go completely in the opposite direction, to not just proclaim you, who I once thought was an enemy, but now I'm blind, and you expect me to trust you, who I didn't believe in the first place. And basically, through a series of events, Jesus proves, yeah. What series of events? Well, he brings the guy into the whole picture called Ananias. Later on, you can read this when you get home. I don't want to run out of time today. Ananias. Those Ananias says, hey, a gentleman by the name of Saul is going to be headed into Damascus. I want you to go down there, lay hands on him, and heal him. Now, put yourself in Ananias' shoes. A believer in Jesus Christ. He knows the name Saul. If you're a believer in Christ in this day, and someone uses the name Saul, it literally just chills you to the bone. And fear can begin to creep in with them. As it did with Ananias. And Ananias questions God. Who? Saul. When you go down and heal him, he has a job to do. I have recruited him. It's like, dude. I mean, I just see Ananias. That would be, listen, if it were me, I would be like, no, because that's the dude rounding everybody up and putting us in prison. And many of us have died there. You're nuts. I'm not doing that. But Ananias had more faith than me. Ananias truly trusted God. And he did it. He went down and healed him. And then Saul, who later becomes known as Paul, one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever known. I mean, a lot of the New Testament is written about him. He spends a few days in Damascus and then would like to go to Jerusalem and meet the disciples. And the disciples are, they're a lot like Ananias. Paul, what? Who's done who? What? Saul and met Jesus on the road and now wants to come meet with us. This is a trap. This is a trap. This is a well-crafted, sneaky trap. And we're not going to fall for it. But God puts words in Barnabas, who, if we know, if we remember, befriends Paul and accompanies him on many missionary journeys after this. But Barnabas comes and says, hey, this is a God thing. This is real. Saul has been changed. But hear me, guys, hear me. Ananias thought he knew what was best. The disciples thought they knew what was best. Paul thought they knew what was best. But God had a whole different best in mind. That's an awesome thing about God. But getting to that best sometimes is not an easy journey. Sometimes the journey is a little bit more difficult. It's not a wide, open, straight path. It's easy to walk on with no weeds and roots sticking up you can trip on. It's just right. That is not always best. Matter of fact, in God's paradigm, the way God does things, usually it's the opposite of that. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said, the easy way leads to what? Destruction. The road to destruction is wide and well paved. It's the small path that's harder to maneuver, harder to navigate, that seems to be the way that God does things. Why? I have absolutely no idea. But it's God, so I trust him. Especially now. I was a youth minister before I lost my tongue. Now, after I've lost my tongue, God has me as a director of missions. I've been in multiple countries, given my testimony in Russia, in China, given my testimony in South America, Mexico. Then I'm talking about broadening my scope of influence. God did that through the loss of a tongue, something I never would have thought would have been the way to go. I mean, everybody told me to make it big in ministry, to go to college, to get a degree, to go to seminary, to get a master's, to get a job in the church, and then that's how you do things. That's how you minister. You know what? That is not at all my path. But that's okay, because I trust it. And I trust that his best is better than my best. And that is something worth trusting. Because, you want to know why? God's never, ever let me down. Ever. I can't think of one time that I leaned on God and he wasn't there. I can't think of one time when I trusted in God's way and God's way proved to be better and more effective. I just wish I wasn't so hard-headed and continually thought, I can do this on my own. My best is better. I still do it to this day. And I've been a believer since I was 17. I'm not going to tell you how old I am now. All right, I'm 35. Just sitting in the head, no, you're not. Just right, I'm not, I'm 37, okay? I've been a believer a long time. I still revert back to, it's okay to, it's not okay to do that. It's just, I'm telling you, they're not weird if you do that. What I need help with is a passage and a sermon like this. By the way, I learned more from preaching than you guys did from listening, by the way. A sermon like this to remind me, yeah, that's good. But God sometimes looks at me and goes, but I got something better. My prayer, my message to you today is don't just rely on your idea of best. Really trust God and allow him to put what's even better in your path. It's not going to be easy. It's not the easy path. But might take a little bit of effort. Might have to suffer even a little bit. But in the end, the better helps you accomplish one thing. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. If you rely on God's best, when you do that, you are seeking God's kingdom above your kingdom. And that, my friends, is exactly what God wants from all of us. Let's pray. Father,